Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. How much are your values worth to you? What price would you put on your beliefs and opinions? Here to talk about the sometimes high cost of commitment is Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, what insights do you have for us today?
Well, I don't know if it's an insight, but it's a reminder. Here in the United States, where we have religious freedom, sometimes it's greater freedom than we imagine, but it's certainly a country that through its constitution, as well as its historic norms and aspirations, stands for religious freedom. And most people are not greatly troubled by it. Most people, that is, that have good jobs and a trade or a career. But we forget that many people who might just work at a convenience store and so on, they daily face the fact that a religious commitment can mean you are unemployable or lose your job. Mm-hmm. And I think with that, many Seventh-day Adventists believe that if there is a problem, you just contact your church, and they will, and we do in the Religious Liberty Department give legal aid. But most people think that you're automatically going to get accommodated. And I found that very few Adventists that I associate with in Australia and the U.S. and perhaps England, quite willing to admit that, as Jesus said, all who live a godly life will suffer persecution. And that there are many instances, even in a country with religious freedom, where you're not going to get accommodated and you are going to have to pay some sort of a price for your commitment.
What are some of the prices?
I was doing another radio interview for someone who had one of these websites, blog things, and he was most anxious to talk about this whole gay thing. Seems to be consuming Christians lately. And it's not that I don't understand why, but it troubles me a little that we're so consumed on this, and I don't really remember such deep discussion about the death penalty in a Christian society. I don't remember hearing such about abortion or other moral things or even drug use, which is corrupting society, too many people. But this seems to be a heavy thing for Christians, and a lot of it's devolving into how can they refuse service or react against these new rights that the gays have. And that in itself is a great problem to me. But this interviewer, he asked me, you know, what if you have to make a cake? Because there's a certain irony. Most people can't even make cakes anymore. They're just from a mix.
Yes.
But, you know, the implication is that this is such a great personal investiture of yourself in it that you couldn't do this for someone that didn't share your moral viewpoint. Where Jesus, you know, gave the example that we're to meet and greet with the publicans and the sinners without compromising our faith, of course. But I made the point, and most people don't think of it, that while I don't believe there should be a legal pass for people that deal with the public, there should be no legal pass or no legal allowance that they can just take it on themselves to refuse to deal with someone else. I just think that's horrific. Nobody, least of all a Christian, should just, when someone comes in the door to get what they're giving to everybody else, they should say, not to you, because you're a sinner. I just don't think that should be. But if you are under deep conviction that you cannot bake the cake, you cannot take the photograph, or whatever it is that you do for a living, maybe you can't do that anymore and need to seek another job, or you pay the fine or whatever the penalty is. That's been the case throughout the years with Christians. There's always a price to pay, one way or another.
I'm looking at the life of Christ when I hear you talk, and I just try to figure out, is there any kind of parallel? All I can think of here in this case, as far as giving food and making food and giving food is concerned, is when he fed the 5,000, he did not differentiate who would receive the bread and the fishes and the loaves, and he simply passed it out to everybody. There was no stipulation. I'm sure there were gay people out in that audience.
Absolutely. And, you know, whosoever will come.
Yes.
And they were called to the wedding feast, just sent out far and wide. It would seem to me better that a gay couple come to a Christian photographer than to go to a gay photographer. At least a Christian has a chance to show them by his demeanor and his life that he's a little bit different, maybe have a chance to talk to them. But if they just stay with their own, they'll never come under the circuit of Christian witness.
Well, you are going to get some phone calls on this one, Lincoln. You are saying that they need to accommodate gay people just like they want to be accommodated in the workplace, right?
Right. But I understand, and it's a way of reiterating the way the government sees it, religious accommodation, which is guaranteed implicitly under the Constitution, but explicitly and particularly in Title VII of the Civil Rights legislation, where it says you can't be discriminated against on the basis of sex or religion or disability and so on. But that religious liberty is not dependent upon you saying, well, I belong to X church,
right,
Seventh-day
right,
Adventist Church,
right,
Catholic Church, right, and they believe this, therefore
yes,
I need accommodation.
Yes.
It's based on the fact that you are under personal conviction. And if somebody is deeply convicted that they cannot bake the cake or take the photograph, fine. They can make application. I think any more they may not get the accommodation. But my point is it's a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are personally bound by that and you don't get accommodation, you're not under conviction to get accommodation. You're under conviction that you cannot participate in this activity. So you would cease it. You would cease it, pay the penalty, or cease it totally and get another job. We shouldn't just fade back to that setting immediately, but that has to be part of the equation, or else we're nothing but a legal self-help society.
Hmm.
The civil law is not going to solve every problem of faith in an imperfect world.
It seems to me that the most powerful witness that we can have to the gay community or to the Muslim community, to any community for that matter, is living a satisfying and happy life. We can show with our lives that we've got something here that you really need to have. But the problem is, and correct me if I'm wrong, the problem is very few of us Christians have that kind of life. We seem to be going around under the same burdens, whether it be health or relationship or financial or belief, that everybody else has. We don't seem to have anything better than anybody else. Am I wrong in saying that, Lincoln?
Well, it's true. And obviously, in the real life, that's often the case. I think it was Mahatma Gandhi said that he loved the Christ of the Christians, but he didn't like the Christians.
Okay.
And that's a sort of a damning statement.
It is.
Perhaps he wouldn't have become a Christian anyway, but maybe it was just an excuse, but it's a valid observation.
Yes.
But it shouldn't be true. Christians should exemplify the principles of Christ, and you don't see Jesus rejecting people. He accepted people. Doesn't mean that he would have accepted them as a disciple.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. He chose pretty imperfect guys, but people that were committing themselves to his principle.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely associated greatly with the sinners and the non-Jews and people that his society would have generally ostracized.
And so since we can't bring our lives as an example to the biblical truths that we say we believe in, we come as judge and jury instead. We condemn instead of demonstrate. That seems to be very wrong in my mind.
And the same with me. And I think it's also strategically wrong. Because here's a chance to witness and show these people of a dangerous moral sensibility, but to show we have a chance to show these people what Christians are. But their newfound rights are increasing. And they're really seeking cause with Christians, that we will attack them and justify further restrictions on our right to attack them.
Yes.
And that's where it's heading. We actually are feeding our own persecution by not acting, I think, in an overtly Christian way. And then we'll call it persecution.
Oh, my. Okay, so the answer is what?
I'll admit with anybody that wants to quiz me that I have as many butterflies in the stomach as anyone when I... even on television, see overt homosexual and gay behavior.
Yes, yes.
I think it's unnatural, right?
Yeah.
But when you look on the large picture of the aberrant behavior that mankind indulges in against God's instruction, it's only one sin among many.
Yes.
And there are many worse even.
Yeah.
So we need to keep a little balance. Christians are called upon to be salt and light and a witness to the Gentiles. and to show love, which is not acceptance always, you know, acceptance of what people do, but show love and concern and solidarity in the human sense with all people.
Yeah. We should leave the judging and the revenging and the correction to the master of that, and that is God himself.
Exactly. And as I've said on this program, we judge in the sense that we make a determination. We have to, when we come across anyone, a determination whether they're living correctly or not.
Mm-hmm.
But what you mean is we don't condemn. It's not
right.
given to us
yes.
to condemn people.
Yes, yes, yes.
God condemns, and he'll be the final judge
yeah.
that will make that last determination, whether they remain filthy or any person, or whether they're destined for holiness and eternal life. So, we should be more charitable. And, yes, support the laws that the state has given to these people, even as we recognize that in so doing, the state and the society that we live in has revealed yet again that it's falling far short of God's perfect ideal.
I've found in my own life, Lincoln, that the more I concentrate on Christ, the more I concentrate on his life and how he interacted with people, I become much more accepting and less judgmental of people. Again, it's a fine line between, you know, accepting someone and supporting someone in their sin. You don't want to support someone in their sin.
And the Bible condemns those that enable witchcraft. We're
yes.
not to be facilitators of someone else's grief.
Right.
We certainly wouldn't want to give alcohol to an alcoholic. That would be unchristian and irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
But to pick the alcoholic up out of the street and buy him a meal, nothing wrong with that.
Well, I tell you what, we have such good discussions on this program. And listener, I invite you to go to the website, www.libertymagazine.org, and you can leave your own comments about this. They are all read and all responded to in some way. And also, you can read the articles in Liberty Magazine and listen to these programs and share them with others. Put a little link in there on Facebook or something. Hey, here's an interesting program on the cost of commitment or on Orlando shooting. Or here are programs that we have dozens of them there you can share with your neighbors. That is how you do it. That is how you demonstrate Christ, by gathering together resources in your own life and in about your life and in and around your life and sharing with others. That is the greatest testimony that you can give to anyone here on earth. Lincoln Steed, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate your words of wisdom and guidance.
My pleasure.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651. Or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.